October 24th, 1993, Rob speaking at the Barnyard Community Room. Great. So there was a question asked before we started the tape about the Neptune-Uranus conjunction that's happening right now, and there's a couple of different ways to look at it. The bigger picture, not including or making this conjunction a subset of it, is that for most of you have heard me talk about how the 90s is the decade of truth, and during these next few years everybody's hidden agendas are going to come out. There's going to be no more secrets, and so the conjunction's part of that. What's happening is all of our deepest core issues are being faced at this time, our personal issues, our hidden agendas. So the Neptune-Uranus conjunction is one more big push for all of your worst fears to come up. And so it's been a very interesting time, and it's and in Honey's case, her worst fear turned into her greatest joy. So, I mean, that's the whole idea. So we can ride these waves of it and see the flip side of it, too. And so this week for me, it's I can tell you my story. I'll give you a real light version of it. All of my intimacy issues came up this week about, can't I just be me? And so but it used to be, can't I just be me? Oh, maybe you can, maybe. This week it's, no, you can't. And so all my issues were up, and so I'm feeling the Neptune-Uranus conjunction. The whole secret is to then look at the issue, see why it is you're creating it, what the fear is, and look for the bigger picture on it, look for the insight that you are attempting to bring to yourself to get to the other side of this fear. And we'll use the mirroring chat today to talk about how to look for that in some of these events that are happening right now. So this whole decade's really pushing hard for everybody to get to be their full, truthful selves. And most of us aren't liars. It's our hidden agendas that are getting us. It's our sins of omission, those lacks of truth, and the ones that we're fooling ourselves about. And so you just have to be brave and not worry about your ego, and what other people think about you really is none of your business, and all those fun things. Is it's going to really make things exposed. No matter how cushy you have your finances or your job situation or your relationships or your day-to-day life, it's got to come up now. This time is to get us to move into the next. I love this. We're going to talk over the band today. So it's going to move us into the next band era. The next generation of frequencies coming on the planet are these indigo children, and they're growing up rather rapidly right now, and what they're here for is to present peace and harmony on the earth, to hold those frequencies. And so it's not about judgment, and it's not about who's a good person. Got full hard. Give it a tug, Annie. Yeah, it's not about who's a good person and who's a bad person and should I turn right or should I turn left or up or down. It's really about just being. It's back to that human being chat we've done a few times. So your beingness is being tested, your ego or your attachments to what beingness is. Is that making sense? It's a very simple answer. We could spend long time on it. I'm going to try to do it in a roundabout way and still include the other topic. How to word this here. So what it will reflect in for most people in using mirroring as the chat is your judgments about how you perceive what you're doing, what's happening to you, how the world's working. And so we're going to do a judgment chat, which we'll talk somewhat about the big picture. And the conjunction is just a little shot of adrenaline to really make it happen more focused, more exaggerated, and then it creates the next wave of processing or healing. The big blip happens, the big issue, and then you start interrelating it with all the aspects of your life. And even though you think you won't survive it at times, you will survive it. Yes, you will survive it, Jen, I promise. It's very intense, and it's and if you're attached to physical body and comfort, it'll come out in that area. If it's about relationship, it'll come out in that area. If it's a combination, it'll come out in both areas. So all the parts. And so our job is not to think we're... what I'd love to share for this small group is that it's not about being alone in it. It's just like what I'm doing right now, the minute I just tell everybody, this is what's happening. is, what you'll find out as soon as you tell everybody what's happening, they'll tell you their horror stories too, is you're not alone in this energy that's happening right now. And there'll be times where you're really cool this day, and the next day you're flipped out. But while you're out of it this day, your friends are in order. And when they're out of order, you might be in order. And it's a really wonderful way to share and keep track of each other. And it's about not holding it in your body. It's not about thinking, oh, what's wrong with me, or I will starve to death and be a homeless little old lady and nobody will love me, and whatever they tried to tell all of us, it's not true. But if you hold it inside and you keep it to yourself and you do it alone, you'll think it's you against the world. And so it's going to push and push and push on you so that you have to scream out or have to let it out of your body. So integrate with other people and share it. And that's this real scary thing for a lot of people. Women, thank goodness, most of you are taught to share with your friends, just to sit face to face and just chat at each other. It's not about fixing it. Oh, I did this, well, gee, I think I need to fix it for you now. Where the guys, we end up where if we have a pain, we're not supposed to tell somebody unless we think we're asking them to fix it, because guys are supposed to fix everything that's presented to us that's broken, and how dare we ask anybody we don't think can handle it. So I'm leaning more towards the guys on this one. It's real important to say what's up, or to find a support system to direct the energy at, or you will feel all alone, and it gets real explosive. And it can come out in rage, or it can come out in depression, which can be a combination. It can come out in physical collapse, or just wanting to run away, especially when you're younger. You get the young youth has all that yellow energy, and so if they don't like something, they just say, fuck it, and they go left. Let everybody go straight or right. And so what happens is we still keep it in our body and don't address it. So this conjunction is really pushing it so that you have to address your world's worst fears or pains. That it's an unfortunate occurrence if you look at it just blatantly like that, but the blessing is once you face that issue or the core issue, you don't have to deal with it anymore. And we're really being pushed on a very accelerated schedule of healing right now. I'm going to refer back just a little bit some previous chats we had about the fourth and fifth dimensional frequency shifts we're going through, where our bodies are turning more and more into light and our DNA is shifting. And so the way the truth and the light, if you're not operating in truth, you can't handle these light frequencies. It literally makes your whole body feel shattered. So it's very important to be truthful. And that means out, you know, let it out, be real. As I have one, two, I got half, three quarters of this room has people with blue energy. So it must be a blue day. And blues are very wonderful people in that they wouldn't dare say anything that they think will hurt somebody else's feelings. And so it's we'll talk about judgment in that light also today, that you can't hurt someone else's feelings and they really can't hurt yours. All they can do is reflect your issue, and you can see it and take it personally and then do something about it. And so when you do speak up, what you're really doing is addressing your truths and how you perceive it, and how that other person perceives, or the persons or group, however they perceive your energy, is really none of your business. It's up for them to do their homework on how they perceive you. And does that make sense? So this expression, as we get lighter, we're lightening up. I guess that's one of the terms they started in the 60s, is lighten up. It's physiologically happening right now. And our molecules are really coming up to speed. And so all it takes is a little bit to trigger us, and off we go into la-la land. And being that I've talked with most of you in this room, I won't get too specific, but we all get off into la-la land. it can be fun. And most of you have heard me say this, but it just, my guys have been saying that it's time to reiterate this. So we're going to talk about judgment and mirroring. And this is the bigger picture beyond the conjunction. The conjunction is just pushing the issue. It's the feather that's tickling things. So people, attention, the tickle. Mirroring is a technique where you shift your consciousness or your frame of reference to recognize that you're the center of your universe. And it's not you against the world, or having to react to the world or fitting into it. You've created it, and what everything you see outside of you is a direct reflection of how you feel about you. And we've all been in situations where the person next to you sees something, and it might even be right next to you, and it doesn't faze you at all. And yet this person's totally going off on it. I can't believe this person's doing that. They're making too much noise. This is church. And you're going, I'm hearing just fine, and I'm sitting right next to the person. If it's your issue, you'll notice it, and if it isn't, you won't. Again, those days when you've been in really good moods and everything looks perfect and life is really wonderful and all these things are so cute and these people are so nice and the horns honking, aren't they wonderful? Life is just going on, and if you're pissed off that afternoon, you got extra comments for the horns and things aren't so cute and you can hardly wait till the day's over, and they didn't change, we changed, our perceptions changed. Once you get centered, and once you start looking out, very much like that theater at Disneyland, you're in the center of your universe, and everything that's around you is your reality that you're creating. Your question fits in perfect right here, Annie. You asked, does everything really get all inclusive in this? And what about those things you walk away from that you just don't wish to attention or accept? What you offered was a very good example of somebody who, in your estimation, was very poorly dressed. We won't need to describe it. It was vulgar for you. So there is the steps of taking care of yourself and recognizing what you are and aren't able to handle at the moment. James Bond said, never say never, or whoever, there's all these never say never people who keep coming back to make more movies or do more things. When you say you'll never be able to accept it, I can tell you that there you'll be surprised that there are possibilities. It's like saying I never can accept myself, and that's the bottom line statement. So I'm going to focus it towards you a little bit on that. Is what everything we see, whether we really enjoy it or whether it's upsetting us, it's about us. And when we're really human beings again, when we're fully centered and conscious and really happy with ourselves, we will just be here like children, where there isn't so much what we think is wonderful or what we think isn't. It'll be more about, it's just about being one with everything and getting back to the interconnection. This technique that we're going to talk about, that you've heard me talk about before, when one takes the time to shift their consciousness into this level, you never ever have to have a judgment again that separates you from everything about this is a good person, this is a bad person, or this is ugly, or this is acceptable. In fact, as you shift your consciousness into this technique or this framework we're going to talk about, it doesn't ever have to be intense again. Intense is simply a tap on the shoulder saying, hey, you're really not doing your homework. Like, Annie, you must have been pretty lazy this last month to get the person you just described to me. we don't have it on tape, but we'll just suffice it to say it was a pretty gross person in your reality system. What'll happen is once you get centered and once you work on your issues, you'll never notice it. It's not that you'll have to learn to accept it or not. It will never be presented to you to accept. There's all those cases when we're with other people and somebody totally goes off on something and you didn't see it. And when you do see it, you go, so what? Thanks for drawing my attention to it. How boring. Get over it. And then when it's our turn, they're busy telling us to get over it. The really wonderful part about seeing the world as your mirror is once you really start owning it, the things that really have nothing to do with reminding you of who you are and where your hidden agendas are, you won't notice. They might be part of your life, but you won't notice them as either wonderful or not wonderful. As in noticing something as wonderful, it's also another way of doing your homework in a very positive fashion or more light fashion of saying, wow, if I think this is so wonderful, then there must be a flip side to it that I don't think is so exciting. So you could actually do the same judgment and by not necessarily seeing the gross person, but seeing somebody like walking through the shopping center here today, if it wasn't Halloween day, there's a lot of people who dress up to go shopping. Somebody we know included. And so when they get all dressed up to go shopping, you might see some people you really enjoyed their accessories or their attire or their demeanor, and know that the reason you enjoyed them is the very same reason why you didn't enjoy the other person. It's all about, if you have a judgment, we're going about, isn't it okay just to be me? Or if I don't look this way, I'm going to get in trouble. Or if I don't have manners, people might sort me out or set me straight. And it, often it's our pain, it's our hidden agendas, that those hidden issues again that are coming up. So what we often see in somebody outside of us is a reflection of our fears or our pain. So what you're saying to me, if I was playing therapist here, what I would know that Annie's saying to me is that she's that lady was helping her work on her wounds about having to be a certain way. Or this guy. Oh, this guy, I'm sorry. I thought you said lady, so I missed it. So this guy, this man, so what is he saying about how I feel? He's telling me that if I don't look a certain way, I don't feel okay, or when things aren't in order, I might get in trouble, or if I don't follow the rules or don't, or I'm picking a barrage of them because each one of us is different. And for each individual in here, we could all see that same person and all stick our fingers down our throat and gag, and each one of us will have a different reason for why doing it, and we can trace it all back to these, what seem to be, when you finally get to them, insignificant things, but they trigger us over and over again. The secret in the mirroring technique that I'd like to talk about today is how is to tell yourself so that then you create it, so that you get to do your homework by seeing beauty, that you get to do your homework by having wonderful, joyful things happen to you, because they're carrying the same issues. If you have an issue about not being good enough by not looking a certain way and not getting the love for it, I'm just picking that. I'm not saying that's yours, and I know that's not necessarily yours. Let's say that's it. Why not see it in somebody who's really gorgeously dressed and go, wow, they think they're so beautiful. I have a judgment. If I have a judgment about how great they look, I must think that if somebody else who looked the opposite of that came in the room, I wouldn't be very happy with it. And it's the same issue at work. So, and being that there's so many people with blue or violet in this room, blues and violets are the ones who really do a lot of processing emotionally. In fact, everybody in this room has blue or violet or both. So all of you, this synchronicity at work, once again, it's the perfect technique for doing processing on the planet is to shift your frequencies into seeing the beauty. And I know you guys have said it probably a million times to yourselves and other people in your lives. And in fact, I know you have. I've talked to every one of you. I've heard you say it. So what we're going to do is talk about how to shift it that way and what judgment is about so that maybe it can become a tool. And I know you haven't heard me say this before, John, but it's actually a very tangible plan, and you can take it in different stages. So you don't have to just suck it all into your body at one time. The first stage is to consider the possibility that maybe everything outside of you is there for your edification. It's a constant reminder system. It's a constant tap on the shoulder saying what you think about yourself or what you're feeling. I can take all of us, we can go walk through this place, and we're all going to notice different things today. We'll notice different costumes, or somebody noticed the hair on that person. Who noticed the hair first? Sally, who looked the same hair. So you can start tracking these things. We could look at that person with hair and say, why is it I noticed that person with hair? What's that? No, I was joking about same hair. I would take it back as a bad joke. But we'll all have different opinions. No, the really gorgeous hair, the mohawk. Mohawk was good too. See, perfect example. I totally loved the person in the black hair. I thought the black hair was very cool. I barely noticed the mohawk later because it was so fluorescent green or purple, whatever. So for me, I got to watch the person in the dark hair and I enjoyed it very much. And I recognize that I would love to have hair like that. It would make me feel better about myself. And so I get to instantly do a little homework on my self-esteem parts. Even though I feel pretty good about myself, and even I know I will survive without hair like that. In fact, if I had hair like that, I probably wouldn't like it. But right now, I thought it was pretty cool. And so we'll talk in a minute about how we can learn about ourselves. And I'll use me as an example on that one. You're the center of your universe. You're God in the center of your universe looking at all your creation. Like that 360-degree movie theater, including the gross guy with the bad clothes and the cool, vibrant wig and the long black-haired person. And we'll include all of them in our chat today. The first part being said, the second part is about judgment. Once we start interacting with this out picture, we have judgments about it. And everybody has judgment. The only way we know how we fit into time and space and place is to decide whether we're tall or short or right or left, or if it's 10 seconds past 2 or 11, or whether we're male or female. Every judgment we have gives us our position in space, our point of reference in which we do our interfacing with. Everybody has judgments about judgment, though. Judgment, I love the word judgment. Some people soften it and say discernment, but we won't do that in this room. I'm not fond of softening things. Jesus said, judge not lest ye be judged. And what I really believe was being said is, if you judge, you're judging yourself. That it was an acknowledgement or an encouragement. It was also a warning to do it consciously, but it wasn't a don't judge. That's impossible here. We are, by nature, judgmental people, and we have future orientation. We have growth expectations. If we didn't, children are the most free of judgment, little children, and that's why they're human beings, and they just stay in the moment, and everything comes into them. In fact, that same gross person can walk by most little kids, and they won't even notice. They might giggle because of extra stimulation, but it won't put them in regression. It won't cause anxiety or anger. That's as we go along and we deal with our pains and how we interact with our world. Little kids lay there in the give it to me mode, you know, that neutral space, and a feeling comes in and it just goes through their body, and they kick and scream and cry and giggle and laugh and zzz, right back to neutral. Next feeling, please. And it's not till we start interacting with them as older people and we say, oh, what was that? Or are you okay? And we start giving them feedback on the feelings, and we start running feelings in order to get responses versus experiencing them and letting them run through. And that's where fear starts getting stuck in our bodies. And we start identifying to these responses. We start making them real, and it's just an experience. It's not really real. And our judgments start shifting towards good, bad, right or wrong, up or down, left or right. But little kids don't have that. They have the quality of judgment where everything they experience is just a stimulation, and it doesn't stay with them for more than that moment. And they're into new, even if they got frightened, 2 seconds later, they're over the fright and they're wide open and ready again. Way back when Jesus said, judge not lest you be judged, I'm sure this was a man. Here's one of my judgments. Some guy probably said, if you judge, you're bad. So everybody thinks judgment's a bad thing, but nobody questioned, well, wait a minute, isn't that a judgment? We're instantly breaking the rules. The person made a judgment about judgment, and everybody said, oh, it must be right. And the second order business here then is to consider that judgment is actually a tool and a gift, and when used consciously and wisely, accelerates your growth, doesn't stop you from being a good person, doesn't get in your way. In fact, the more judgmental you are, the more beneficial it is for you. But you need to be honest with your judgments, you need to be present with these judgments, and you need to be willing to own them as judgments that reflect who you think you are. So if we see some gross, grody, awful person, doesn't mean we're gross, grody, awful persons inside. What it means is when we notice it and we have an energy about it, you might have loved it. So let's say the person loved it instead of didn't like it. It's the same core issues could be at work. Why we got so stimulated by it. It still reflects issues of self-expression or value or personal power or safety. So we're getting down to our core issues by watching what's outside of us. Making sense so far? So many directions to go. This is very fun having you all as captive audiences. This is the technique. I'm cutting to the chase on the technique because you asked a really good question. Okay, here it is in your face. What do you do about it? Do you defer it? Do you put it in a little box? Or do you handle it then? Or do you ignore it?
Or accept it?
Well, I believe we need to accept everything. That's the first step. That we do need to accept that this is a reflection of a belief or an attitude that we have. Now, the dealing with it part, everybody does different. We don't have to drag them into a bathtub and to the barber. And we don't have to say, oh my God, where's your mother? We don't have to dump energy on them. Actually, the process I prefer to do is when I see anything that brings me great joy or bothers me, because I consider them both the same egg. I look at it, I get what I believe it is, and it comes down always to one of three things: value, power, or safety. It's It's going to reflect an issue about your power, an issue about your value or valuelessness, or how safe or unsafe you are. And let's say that one, a value issue about not being good enough dressed a certain way. So then I dismiss that person. That event, that person has done their job. There is no need to interface with them and ask them to fix their act or clean up their act. That's like the dog barking at its reflection in the mirror. We're just talking to ourselves. So when you go right, it goes right. And so at that point, we dismiss them. Thank you for the tap on the shoulder. Thank you for saying I have this as an issue. And the next phase is to go inside and make the changes at your core. And it's very easy because it's not about the superficial. It's not about appearances. It's about feeling valueless if you were to be judged for your appearance, or if you dressed a certain way when you were 16, maybe you got in big trouble. And so now, no matter how somebody's dressed, if it's solicitous or if it's not appropriate, shame or pain comes up that we often are taught to do. The only way we're allowed to do shame or pain is through anger. So we might get angry at that person or have anger happening and not even know why. And it's often because of triggers we have to getting trashed for looking a certain way at certain ages. I'm going to generalize because there's so many different reasons. So thank you very much, Mr. Grody, and you just dismiss that person. The universe sent you a very clear message, and what you simply do is go to your core cellular system. Now the trick is, as I lay this out for you, I can't do it all holographically yet because you guys don't get it holographically consciously yet. So I'm going to have to explain it linearly, and these are the different stages that explain what you're doing. The judgment part's real important to know, because once you start judging everything, like you say, oh, how wonderful, I get to judge this person. But it's not this person, it's this event, this thing that's presented to me. So you thank you, you dismiss them, and you get, whether it's about your value, power, or safety, eventually you will know. It'll just click with you. At first you may not get it. So the real homework at first lies with, what is this trying to tell me? I'll explain it more in detail in a minute. I'm going to just do loose parameters and then get into the gist of it. Let's say it's about value. Well, there's a core cellular system. I call it that, but you can call it your soul. You can call it your higher self. You can call it the interface between where you're this etheric matter and where you're now solid, and where does that interface between the etheric and solid happen? That's this soul level that you're at. It's your, not cellular system like physical cells, but your whole makeup, your belief systems at a very deep level. When you come in on the planet, you already have a little treasure map built into you. And this treasure map is, you're going to feel 20% powerful, and you're going to feel 80% valueless, and you're going to feel 15% unsafe here. And then your first exposure to this is when you're in your mom's womb. And all the people that come around and all the events that happen to your mother reflect these issues exactly to that degree in your own perception. And then after you're born, we often in therapy are blaming parents, and I mean that lovingly, because we're trying to get people to core issues, but it's not about our parents, and it's not about us at parents. Our parents were one of our first conscious mirrors that said, look, you have an issue. That's why when we tell you you're not good enough the way you are, you can't do this, or you can't do that, or you should do this, or you should do that, and if you don't, you're not a good person, it bothers you because you have these issues. That's why some children in the same family can turn out totally different and not even remember these issues or not be affected by them. It's not about the parents. It's about us as individuals, and our job is to get conscious. And our job is to say, wow, look, these were just taps on the shoulders, and I wasn't supposed to respond to them. I wasn't supposed to prove to them I was a good person. It was a tap on the shoulder saying how I'm feeling about me, what this map that I came on the planet with to discover about myself. And it's always, again, these three core issues. It's going to come back to your value or valuelessness, power or powerlessness, safety or lack thereof. This core cellular system we have is a short order chef. I'm going to have to talk louder and louder. This band is just picking up the pace. I don't know if it shows on tape, but we're just having good old banjo music in the background. This core cellular system is like a computer. Everything that you put into it, at this core, it kicks out into your perceptual systems, your brain, your skin, your mind, your sight, your hearing, and its job, your perceptual system's job, is to validate your core belief systems. If you believe you're 20% valueless, your life experiences until you change that core belief system will always be 20% valueless. it'll have little rides within it, but the keeps coming back to, no matter how much homework, how much therapy you do, no matter how much you read, no matter how perfect you are and how many people love you and how great life is, if you have the hidden agenda that you're 20% valueless, it'll keep coming up. And it'll show up in how people look or how they treat you, whether you're safe or not in this environment, or if they'll accept you in. And so the key is garbage in, garbage out, as they say in computer talk, or goodness in, goodness out. What we want to do is reprogram that core cellular system that has the hidden treasure map. Once you start getting conscious, you can say, well, that's really a nice treasure map, but I don't want that one anymore. I want new treasures. And I want 100% value, and I want 100% safety, and I want 100% power. And what you can do is, while you consciously watch the world outside of you, and it says, oh, well, it's like little meters. You know, the stereos today have those little light meters. The world is like these light meters. How much output am I having in my value category? And you look around and you'll get, we can sit right in here, and what everybody's thinking about me as you look at me, it's going to be different for each person. And what you're perceiving, if you think I'm really wonderful, well, that saying it takes one to know one is really true. And if you think I'm being a schmuck, well, it does take one to know one. It's what's being projected on me. Little kids totally knew this. I'm rubber and you're glue. Bounces off of me and sticks to you. We said it how many times when we were little until we got talked out of it. That's all it really is rubber and glue. I, that person, myself, it's all just reflections about these core issues. And our job is to wake up and understand what Jesus and many other teachers were saying. Judge not lest ye be judged. If you're going to judge, well, have at it. You're simply judging yourself. And that includes favorably. So I always want to say, when I talk about judgment, I really believe that judgment doesn't have to mean negative. Why not go out there and see the beauty in everything and see what a wreck you are? If you really are going to have issues about who you are, instead of having everybody disempower you or feel like the world's a big mess or it's awful, go out and choose to consciously do your homework by seeing beauty. It's the same issue reflected. So I'd rather see the most gorgeous thing that makes me totally envious and all that and go, oh good, I'd rather see that than have the complete opposite, which has the same impact on my system, come into my life and trash me. So what you can do, Annie, at first is you dismiss it, you tap on the shoulder, thank you, and instantly, your instant homework assignment is, hello, core cellular system. This core cellular system, where your attention goes, your energy flows. I know you've all heard me say this before, you all have a big toe on your right foot. And as soon as we talk about it, there it is. And as soon as you put your attention on your core cellular system, your soul, your inside part, when you say hello to it, all you have to do is think about it or feel it. Whatever you imagine it is, it connects you up with it, whatever it is. And it's up to you to decide what it is and what it feels like. Hello, core cellular system. Hello, higher self. Hello, God. Hello, soul. Hello, computer. Computer. I am valuable. I'm 100% valuable. I'm completely valuable. I am safe, and I am powerful. However you want to give it its full force. What you're doing is you're simply reprogramming yourself. The world's saying, well, you believe you're 20% valueless. You go, thank you very much, Mr. Grody. You're dismissed. Hello, core cellular system. I am totally valuable. And it's nothing to do with that person. That person was a tap on the shoulder saying, do your homework. Do your homework. Easy. Go, thank you. Easy. Get out of my face. Yes. Take care of yourself. X them out and go inside. Yeah. Susan. How we present ourselves does create our mirroring system. So your friend, it's not up to us to rescue anybody. Our real homework is to love everything that we see. And now, since there's so many blues in this room, blues will want to rescue everybody. So guarantee it, that yes, it is in your DNA, like you got it injected in there. But the homework is to finally rescue yourself and to love everybody for just who they are. So you see this person, and when they complain, you say, would you be willing to listen to what I have to say? I have this perception. Now it's just my perception. It's not about if you do this, because you'll find that you can take that. You could do Gigi 101 on this person, and you can take them and make them perfect. You can give them a great accent, and they're still Gigi. They still came from this three. They still have their homework to do, and they'll still come full cycle back to their basics. It's just painting. And so the person is creating as rapidly as they can. The reason they dress some of the ways they do, the reason we dress the way we do, believe what we do, act how we do, isn't because some of us are smarter than others or those people are better than us. We're just at the stage that we're at that we're creating mirrors and energy that are most like us. So her mirroring system will be one that brings about her apparent lack of self-esteem. And so it'll be, and it'll create people who mirror that quite closely. And we can't rescue them. All we can do is just be our true selves, use them as our mirrors, because if we have a judgment about it, go, whew, thank you. It's so nice that you get to volunteer for this part of the judgment system and not me. And then don't fix them. Just thank them lovingly, dismiss them energetically, and go inside and do your homework. And what you'll find is as you change your core belief systems, as you go, hello, computer, I am totally valuable, I am completely safe, absolutely powerful, as you reprogram your cellular system, and I know this sounds really easy, I want you to know it is this easy, it doesn't have to be difficult. It really is very simple that you just... Now, granted, once you start consciously attentioning your universe this way and you're saying you're willing to do your homework, it's going to send it right to you. But the fun part is you can just be there with it. You can have great pain, you can have great torture, and you don't have to go around and shoot yourself, and you don't have to get slimed. You can dismiss it and go inside and do your homework. I am valuable, I am powerful, and I am safe, and here's how wonderful it works. Most people who are having money issues or money problems, instead of letting it scare you or you want to, the money to start happening, recognize it as often a value issue. You're feeling 20% valuable. Well, you're only getting, no matter, you could work 80% of the time more than anyone else and still only make 20% of what they're making. It's about core beliefs. It's about frequencies. It's about magnetism. It's really not about how hard you work. Madison Avenue and everyone else out there would like to tell you it's about how smart you are, how hard you work, what grades you got in school, and how well you dress. And Danny DeVito totally proves every one of those things wrong. Thank you, Danny DeVito, and probably a million other people. This wonderful, gifted, charismatic, violet man who's actually a very amazing being. If you put all of America's standards on there, the guy should be homeless on the corner begging, selling pencils. It really isn't true. And there's a million examples out there right under our nose, but our society keeps encouraging us to see the ones that look so positive as the successes. And it's not true. If you really look around, many of my clients are multimillionaires, multibillionaires. The really successful ones that I have and the really wonderful people, great many of them are not very attractive physically. And most of them dress like bums. Why do they have to dress up? We're rich. The people that aren't as rich as they'd like to be who dress up. Now that's my judgment, my experience, because I've worked with so many people who are rich and believe they're rich, not are rich and don't know it. There's a lot of people in Carmel, we've all met them who are really rich, have no idea. They're still wanting more and their whole energy is about, I'm not quite there yet. But I've worked a lot with truly wealthy, not just financially, but energetically people. And as soon as you get to that place, walk around in your robe. It really doesn't matter. And so when we start, again, using our judgments about how things look outside, look at that poor slob. They're never going to amount to anything. Watch out. That poor slob probably has a lot more than you'd imagine. There's a bunch of them in this area. There's a bunch of eccentrics running around here that you can feel sorry for them as much as you want while they're on their way to the bank, if you'd like. It's a trick. And so be conscious. Do the judgments. And when you change at the core level, your judgment, let's say, about value in this money chat we're doing here, when you change it there, all of a sudden money just starts coming to you. And it comes in all these different ways and unpredictably. Pat and I talk about this all the time. We just watch, okay, value systems are down, money's not happening. Well, I'm not going to worry about it. It'll just change and I'm doing my homework and then all of a sudden things just start going up again. And it's not about, God, I'm a bad person, or I should have done this, or it's not about, oh, I need to be terrified. It's, wow, I'm not really clear on how valuable I am. The world is saying it in a financial way. So what are we going to do about it? Are we going to go out and work 10 times harder for 10 times less? Or are we going to simply say thank you for the lesson, go inside and say, okay, I'm obviously having a value issue here. Or if I feel powerless because I don't have the money to make the decisions in my life, it could be a power issue. Or if I'm feeling like I might starve and be homeless, it could easily be a safety issue about being sick and unloved and dying on some street corner while everybody steps over you. All the fears that we generate in school very early to get us all to work really hard. It's like a big beehive here. It's and everybody's a bunch of worker bees, and they just don't question anything. And it's really about getting conscious. It's about using the world as your mirror, going inside and making the changes there. And what I do, here's the saying I do for myself. I do, I am valuable, I am powerful, and I am safe. I love and I like myself. And everything I think, do, and say is perfect, regardless of the outcomes or consequences. Now, I've been doing this so long, and in fact, within the first month, I really got it this way, that now I just have this little hologram or this little feeling that means all of that. And each one of you can create that what is that whole, what does your body feel like when you really say that and believe that? Then memorize that feeling, and so now I just send that feeling through my body instead of having to do this 6-second blurb. So while I'm talking to Annie, let's say I'm talking to you and you start picking your nose, and that might be one of my issues, and I'm going, God, she's so gross, she's picking her nose, and so instead of saying, Annie, you know, it's really not appropriate, this, because who am I to say that's my issue? I just go inside and say, okay, Rob, you are valuable. You are powerful and you are safe. What you will find is once you really are up to snuff on your stuff, it won't matter. You can care less. Like little kids can talk to each other all day long with their fingers in their nose and they're just having a great conversation. Do they go, well, you're gross and I'm out of here? Not until they're like 5, 6, or 7 and they imitate what their parents told them, not what other kids told them. We're socialized. Yeah, everything I think, do, and say is perfect, regardless of the outcomes or consequences, which means if I fuck up, I'm still a good person. If I fuck up, I fucked up. It doesn't make me slime of the earth, doesn't make me bad, doesn't make me unloveworthy, doesn't make it so people can come beat me up. It's not about that. But we've all been led to believe it's about that, so that we work really hard to buy all the stuff Madison Avenue wants you to get. We're a very socialized system into purchasing to fix things. Like you've heard me say before, you know, get white teeth, you'll get laid. Well, get a bigger car, fancy house, it'll fix everything. All it does is make you want more so that you make sure you never have to experience what you thought you had fixed, because it never goes away. It's always there. Hello. So this system about using conscious judgment, about the more you can judge, the better. I highly recommend you go to the airport, get yourself a six-pack of something that you like, put your feet up and go, look at the way that asshole's dressed, and look at that, or wow, that's really outrageous, or look at the way that person walks, they really carry themselves amazing. Wonder what country that person's from. Oh, I feel sorry, they're from Iran, they're going to really be sorry they came here. I mean, you could run these whole series of judgments and opinions. The real homework isn't just to enjoy it or just to flippantly say, oh, get out of our country, America, love it or leave it. Our job is to look at them and thank them, each and every one that we focus on that catches our eye, and go, thank you for whatever it is I'm getting from you. You don't look a certain way, you don't walk a certain way, or you do look a certain way, or you do walk a certain way, or wow, you're all so noisy, or everybody from Japan takes up the entire width. You guys live in a crowded country and you think we do too. I hear these judgments all the time. I travel so much. Airports are the most amazing place to do interpersonal, dynamic homework. Just sit there and let everybody piss you off or bring you great joy. Usually piss you off. The airport's a great place to get to your core issues. The exciting part is you can knock off about a month's worth of homework in an hour and have a really good time. It really makes it, if you'll stay conscious, you'll find how rapidly accelerates your life. And here's the really fun part. Besides making more money by simply getting more value in your system without having to work harder like a worker bee or do something, you change it inside. And all of a sudden, in all these ways you never planned it came, it also shows in relationship. For those of you who are either looking for a relationship, who are in relationship, wish you'd quit repeating that same old relationship, however you want to look at it, once you start doing the issue with your partners, you get to see that, wow, this is really about my issue. I wouldn't, like for me with 3 ex-wives, it took me a while to figure it out. I didn't marry the same woman 3 times. They were all totally different from different parts of the world. And we came to the same core issue because it was always mine. Well, when you start doing your homework at the bus station or walking through the barnyard here, then you're staying conscious. You're saying to the world, I don't need my partner to do all of my intense homework that I'm refusing to look at or that I'm omitting, our sins of omission. We can do all of our homework with total strangers and save the wonderful dynamics for at home the way we want them to be. It's a very fun, or to meet the people we want to meet and not have to bring all of our, you're going to fix this for me while you're at it too, right? And we lay all of our baggage out saying, these are our issues, go ahead, punch my buttons, I'm ready. We don't have to do it that way. We can have real joyfulness. Yes, we can still have our issues. I'm having a really fun week this week, and I totally see what my issue is, and I'm working on it, and I got it. And Neptune Uranus conjunction. And can't make Gigi out of me that instantly easily. I'm working on it also. You know, I've really been doing a lot of work for many years, and I still have my blips, but they're fewer and further in between, and when they happen, they're gigantic. I don't waste time with little ones anymore. When the shit hits the fan, somebody ordered the manure truck. And it's great. Why not have it be that way? Why not have it just one big blop in the fan and go, okay, I'll get out of this and really see what it is. As my biggest concern in the past was I hated every day being, okay, what's next? Or what am I? Now it's smooth and it has a big blip, and then I have the energy for it also. It's not about being perfect. It's not about, oh, my life's free and all of you are fucked and it's a tough shit, you should have figured it out. It's really about being responsible for our creation, owning it, and not getting pissed off about it, just riding the waves. And at some point, sadomasochistically perhaps, it actually gets to be fun. I'm actually able today to laugh about something you asked Pat 24 hours ago I didn't think was very funny. And it's pretty funny today. I got to see this morning what all my issues were, and so I'm processing them at my value level, because it was a value issue.
Are they totally new for you? I mean, you've been obviously
been doing this for years. It's what I wasn't aware of what happened, and also, or I was lying to myself. That what I get busted on most is where I think I fixed something, and so I stopped doing my homework on it. And I thought, oh yeah, this is really cool, I've got this, I got white teeth, no problem. Or I got the big house, no problem, and I fell for it. Once again, I fall asleep. Right? The system says if you have this, this, and this, nothing is going to go wrong. And after a while, Neptune Uranus comes around the block and says, okay, for all of you with hidden agendas, all of you who think that white house, BMWs, and white teeth, big houses, BMW is going to fix it, yuck! High karate commercial happens, and it just chops you. So I got chopped, and I'm telling it to you very joyfully, because I totally see what the issue is, and it's very heartbreaking. So it took that for me to get to see it. It's not about good person, bad person. And so that's where it's at. Homework assignment. So I joyfully do it. I'm asking the universe, because I've been very lax, I would like for it to send me my homework assignments in a much more loving, beautiful, sensitive way, and I imagine that that's what it will do now. I had been remiss, and so I get caught when I fall asleep. It's so easy to fall asleep here. It's so easy to just have as soon as everything gets really comfortable, we just want to sit back. It's like, God, we finally got our midterm paper done. Okay, now what we can do that's fun? Well, it's constantly midterm paper. The secret is how to make it joyful so it isn't like work. But it is homework, always. Our body is our temple, our home. We have real homework. School tried to teach us about homework. But we have perpetual homework, our consciousness, staying awake within a sound asleep system of people who think four cotton underwear for a dollar at a blue light special at Kmart is going to make their break their life. Or here we are doing a chat at the Barnyard Community Room in a shopping center that's totally designed to fix everybody's feelings, and it's a drugstore. You know, do you notice that they have grocery stores and Long's Drugs always next to each other? Because they're both drugstores. You know, you fix your feelings with food, or you go next door and take an aspirin if you weren't understanding that. This is just another big drugstore, this whole complex. There is nothing here anybody needs. Name one thing here.